Hello, I'm Andy, one half of the Stardub team. Before we get on to Stardub After Dark, Auto Assembly special edition of the podcast, I just have to preface with a couple of things. First off, with my AA committee hat on, I'd just like to thank everybody who attended, everybody who was involved, from the dealers to the volunteers to other committee members and to the guests, because it was absolutely fantastic. Found ourselves in a brand new home. A couple of challenges with that, but I think we all rose to the occasion perfectly well, and it's bigger and better for next year. And I think you'll all agree it was an absolutely splendid event. Now, one of the charities for Auto Assembly is Mary's Meals, which leads me on to my next little indulgence, which is about Toyfoo, which has been headed for the last few years by Nick Davidson. Now, what happens is Nick comes along Auto Assembly and sells Transformer toys. Not an unusual event in itself, given that it's a Transformers convention. But the big difference is Nick doesn't see a penny from this. The profits made from any of the sales go to Mary's Meals, which is a really great charity which provides school meals to children in developing countries, with the idea of they'll at least get a meal at that when they get educated. So it'll kind of drive parents to try and get them in there. So it can only be a good thing. So he's been doing that for the last couple of years. He's actually going to be taking a powder from actually being at the convention for the next couple of years, because he's actually off to America to study for a PhD. He will still be heavily involved though, as he will be our American point man for distribution and sending things across. And so his ghost will loom large. But what I'd like to do is thank everyone else that was involved for what went on during the weekend. Obviously, there was Nick himself, along with Mr. Andy Kiernan, who were pretty much two of the two main front runners on the stand, along with Tony Baker and Matt Marshall, who were there pretty much the entire day. And apparently, Boilercunt spent pretty much most of their convention budget at the self-same stand that they were helping out in. So well done, guys. Obviously, Carl Thurgood and Ralph Burns as well, the other half of the Stardub team, were there pitching out. I, for my sins, being involved in a lot of AV duties and other things, wasn't able to spend as much time there as possible, but did still find some time to donate some toys, prizes, and of course some of my own hard-earned cash by going back and buying things. But there you go. A big thank you also to Adam White, ADHM on the full ADAM, sorry, from the Full Metal Hero boards and elsewhere, for rocking up to us on Thursday night, not long after we arrived, and handing over pretty much almost complete Scorponok. Absolutely splendid of you, class act, my friend. And obviously, thank you to everybody who bought anything from the stall, and indeed who bought anything from the auto assembly table as well, because that was one of the charities. So money was that came in from there. A portion of that went to Mary's Meals as well. So absolutely fantastic. So the absolute total that we gave was £4,002.65. So check winging its way as I speak now to Mary's Meals. So fantastic. Now, as I alluded to earlier, Nick is obviously away, so I'd like to make sure that everyone head over to his Facebook page, or even need his Twitter account at Toyfoo2012, and basically just say, well done, fella, because absolutely, he was the driving force of it, as he always is. And as I'm sure you're aware, when you see a table with several Roadbusters, some years 10 or 11 Overlords, again, him and Mr. Kiernan do a fantastic job. So we're about to go on to the Stardub After Dark podcast, recorded on the Sunday night, which basically is when the festivities are all gone and we're all unwinding. So it's a little bit sweary, far more so than most normal Stardub podcasts, and the quality isn't that great because we're actually in the open bar, so people do wander along on occasion just to add an element of danger for it. So if you want to now just sit back in your chair, if you listen to this fairly soon after Auto Assembly, then you probably your feet hurt almost as much as I do. So put them up and enjoy Stardub After Dark. Thanks very much, everyone.
And hello, and welcome back to the Stardub Podcast. This is an extra special edition of the podcast about the items of pop culture that generally people don't talk about enough. The tat, if you like. So, things that aren't important. My name's Ralph.
I'm Andy, and this is actually Stardub After Dark.
It's so exciting we don't even have a number for it.
There will be fruity language, as there always is.
Indeed. There may even be some fruits on board. We're recording this in front of a special guest audience.
Yes. So what we're going to do is we're going to go around
clockwise from my position, introduce the participants who will be chiming in with opinions, abuse and apologies more than likely. So to my right,
Tony Baker, home from Ireland. The other guy who was supposed to be beside me, he's gone, he'll be back in a while. But,
you'll recognise him. His name's Mark Graham, and he is basically the man who cannot be let within 20 feet of Dan Gilvezan. Because, well, the constant erection really off puts him when he's doing his panels. That's all I'm saying.
It's true.
It is true.
And I'm Carl Fernand, and occasional previous guest.
Oh, hello, I'm Matt.
Hello, Matt.
Hello, Matt.
Thank you for joining us. Who else is here?
I'm Andy. I'm 30 years old, and I'm reading Shepherd's Glass.
Well, are you like a different Andy? You're going to have numbers.
I'm Andy 2.
You're Andy 2.
I'm like cunt Andy, really. Let's be honest.
Let's see. Who is to my left, which doesn't help with the audio medium?
I'm Nick, and I get the joy of reading the Stunticon job.
Shh, don't spoil it! Spoilers!
Spoilers, sweetie.
Spoilers.
No one said.
Meanwhile,
we're just going to edit. Have you listened to one of these before?
Really?
Rough and leaning lecherously between the axis of evil that is Stardub.
Hi, this is Time Lord. I'm always known as Matt number two, since other Matt is...
I'm here.
Matt Prime? Yeah.
I'm here. Matt Alpha.
Matt Alpha, so I'm Matt Beta.
So what we're going to do is we're going to kick off with a discussion about something I referred to on Twitter today, if anyone was following, called hollyoaking.
Yes, hollyoaking.
Now, what is hollyoaking?
Well, we're going to tell you what hollyoaking is all about.
No, just if you can, down, Carl. It's not a new term. It's been going around in our circle.
It was new to me today.
Basically, hollyoaks is what we like to call in Britain a soap opera. And what popular stand-up comic Frankie Boyle said is, you know how monkeys get peanut butter at the roof of their mouths to talk to make the PG Tips advert? That's how they make hollyoaks. And he's not far from the truth, to be honest. People that can barely walk and talk at the same time pretending to have dramas.
Yes.
So anyway,
they're very good looking.
Some of them are, I wouldn't say.
Well, no, generally the ladies.
Compared to the round table of Stardub, yeah, they probably are good looking, but that's not really pushing things, isn't it?
It's not a high buy, essentially.
I've got a purple envelope here.
Is that a euphemism? I don't care how purple.
I'm just saying that right now. Have a purple envelope.
And if you're gripping it that tight, well,
I am gripping it very tightly. So,
anyway, Hollyoaks, back in, I think, 2000, one of the popular young, attractive looking men on the show was the subject of a then highly controversial plot point where someone who didn't like him decided to anally rape him in a car park. This went on for a while, but when the show aired, it was after the watershed. Oh, Matt, you can't whisper, you have to say it out loud.
I watched that one.
I just went in on this conversation. I've got no idea what's going on.
So when they... He was
anally raped
in a car park, and so we were at work, and at that point, I worked in a call centre at the weekend, and there was a lot of kind of the water cooler thing, and folk talked about the act of what happens, like, you see him, and we're talking about it, and it's like, me and a few people have similar veins of humour, and which is not very pleasant, so, by the way, I should say sensitive listeners right now, skip about 5 or 6 minutes.
That's if you didn't get the hint of the phrase anally raped in a car park.
Yes.
It may be a bit late.
Nick, I'm not the straight man, although looking around you, I think I actually am. But hey, I'm not judging. Ratchet judges. But I digress. But we were talking about it, and it was like, no one could kind of imagine that this guy hated him so much that what he felt the need to do was bend him double in a car park and ram his cock up his ass. Apart from one person at our table, a chap who I cannot name because he is on my Facebook friends list, and it might not go well for him in his current line of his vacation, I should say, rather than job. And he said the words, actually, if you really didn't like someone, that's one fucking great way to really get back at them. Because let's be honest, you can kick someone in, give them like a broken arm or that, but that's gonna heal. But you fuck them up the arse, and that's gonna stay with them forever.
Well, these things do stay with you forever. I mean,
well, yeah, it's like these scars.
Once it breaks off inside.
Does it stay to him forever?
No.
Does it snap like spiders?
We were talking about the mental and emotional journey.
It wasn't.
At no point did I say that a leopard that didn't like another man fucked him in a car park.
That'll be worse.
For the leopard or for the man?
Well, yeah.
No one comes off well
from
that.
And no one comes off at all after that.
At least the leopard doesn't leave.
I'm glad you cleared that up.
So anyway, at that point, the entire circle or the table just kind of went, whoa, diggy. Oops. let's never anger you again. If I ever piss you off, I really don't want to hollyoak me. So the act of hollyoaking was born. So whenever we talk about surprise, non-consensual, same-gender anal sex, hollyoaking is our euphemism.
Does this actually come up in conversation a lot?
It does.
Carl, have you listened to Stardub before, or any conversation I've been a part of? That's fair. I should have expected that.
I did come up today after...
Someone mentioned it yesterday, and now I understand.
So,
it makes it tell us where we are.
So, where are we? We're in the 4-star Hilton Metropole at the end of Ottawa Assembly 2012.
Believe it's Sunday.
It is. Although it feels like 2050 to me. My feet are red raw. I'm not wearing my shoes right now, so people are crying and dying from the smell.
Trying not to breathe as well.
Ah, well.
It's not that bad.
Fuck them.
Take deep breaths. So,
the convention experience can be long and exhausting.
But it is rewarding.
It's a Transformers convention, by the way. It's long and exhausting, and you don't really know when it's going to end. It's about like if you're in the ocean and there was a shark, and that shark wanted to attack you.
Is this going to go anywhere like your rare nuke pitch? No. I'm calling an audible. No. I'll shut the fucking computer off now.
No. It's like these feelings of terror. A shark is coming.
Whoa, late breaking announcement.
Oh, someone's just joined us.
Now, the man to... Now, this will be completely lost on you as you're listening, but the man to the right of Tony, who Tony is to the right of me, not in the political ways, by the way, because quite frankly, you really don't get more right-wing than me, as can be seen if you'd seen me this weekend with my Nazi skinhead. I look lovely. Anyway, we have introduced yourself.
You. Also known as me.
Which is?
Which is Mark Graham.
Dan Gilvezan's number one stalker.
Allegedly. I'm never proving anything. Hello, Internet. Go back to sleep.
Now, Mark might get upset if when he starts to swear later on when we're talking, but he will try and do his best to differentiate between cock and cunt.
Add your own bleeps, Internet.
Well, there's no bleeps in the Stardom podcast.
They can imagine them.
So you believe in an Nazi or an innie?
I thought that was neighbours.
Yeah, well, it can work both ways.
So anyway,
the act of being unpleasantly reamed up the pipship. Well, that's why are we talking about that when we've been at the convention?
I don't know. I can't think why.
Because we're holding some convention-related merchandise in our hand. Now, I don't speak of anything Ottawa Assembly-related, mostly because I have a vested interest, having edited and produced much of the printed material for Ottawa Assembly for the last few years, and it's fucking awesome, by the way. If anyone disagrees, my foot, your ring piece.
What a push.
My foot, your ring piece.
Well, that happens every night, anyway. But moving on.
Not usually my foot, though. Not until afterwards, anyway. Need you slack first.
Dead air.
Getting pinned the pip shoot. That's like reading Fun Publications Transformers Timeline comics. Which, now, most forced pip shootings don't last that long, unless the guy has trouble. Allegedly. However, these have been going on for fucking years.
8 years.
Jesus Christ.
Is it really seven years?
We're missing one though.
It's seven years to be at conventions.
Oh. Yes, so.
Says pedantic Mark.
It does feel a lot longer.
But so, we have a veritable smorgasbord of four colour comic cack, which isn't exactly a shock for the Stardub podcast. Now, we've said before that the triumphant comics are actually the worst comics that we've read. Now, objectively they are. However, because we all have refused to grow up and let our love of Transformers fade away, these actually generally hurt us more. So, I am going to pick someone at random to do it first rather than just me talk on, because everyone else is staring at me like a captive audience, and not because I've got my flies open and I've got my cock hanging out.
I didn't need that mental image.
It's not a mental image. If a cock's hanging out, you should actually see it. Are you trying to say that's harsh, Carl? And I have to say, one of the most inventive ways of accusing man of having a tiny wing wang. Fair play.
I'm neither fair nor just.
I doff my cock. So anyway, we're going to go to Ralph.
Hello.
Alright, cool, we'll see silent. We've got...
It's far worse language than I'm used to in a particular podcast.
It's Stardub After Dark. Lock up your children. And not because we'll touch them or anything. No see them at all.
Anyway,
I like how no one else joined in and said they wouldn't, dirty bastards.
I just can't match all this rape chat.
You can. You've got fuel. What have you got in your hands, Ralph?
I've got a comic.
I'd already told the listeners that. What particular comic
have you got? I have Transformers Timelines, issue 7, from Bokka of 2012.
This very year?
This very year.
It's current.
It's a storyline called Transformers Invasion. And I don't really understand anything that's going on.
That would be because it's a sequel to two previous comics.
No, I've read the previous comics. I still don't understand what's going on. It appears to be evil good guys are fighting other robots, and there's colours and shit.
Are you talking about an exciting mirror universe concept?
I am talking about an exciting
mirror universe concept. Do they all have beards?
Most of them. There are no beards.
No, all of the homosexuals in this comic are entirely open about it and don't have women to allay suspicions.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just for clarity.
The colours are quite nice, actually. I like the colouring. And
Rob, stop at a random page and read some dialogue out.
Okay. They did some hefty damage, but we had Gigatron and his Decepticons running for the hills like it was nobody's business. It warmed the processors from some chap who I think is an action mastermind.
Which one?
That one there.
Rad.
Yeah.
But he's not.
Yeah.
I know, but it's
been a long convention and I'm very tired.
We're disappointed though that you can't identify them like that.
I can't. It's all the inner rape that's knocked the knowledge out of my head.
that guy had a lengthy spear.
That's true.
So she said.
as Tony just thinks.
You know, it's not the worst of
things. It will be in yes, it is. I think the one that
Andy Prime has in his hand is the worst one by far.
It's not the worst one by far, but it's the worst one because it shits upon things from a great height.
But now, and before I go, can I just say that I like that comic because it's very inclusive, because usually they have lots of big good artists working on it, but this time they actually got a small child in the cover.
I actually like the cover. It's kind of like the old 50s EAP cartoons. It's kind of off-kilter and nice, and it looks better.
They obviously had a competition.
On the cover, it's basically Transformers timelines. It's put into a grid of four, and it's kind of bright primary colours, all done in what looks like Adobe Illustrator. It looks like vector graphics. You've got good guys, and it's got Blaster with a nice smile, and Metalhawk, who is based on the Thunderwing Classics generations, whatever the fuck you want to call it. Then you've got good guys question mark, and you've got, by the way, I'm going to have to digress a little because we were talking about Hollywoods earlier. Now, again at my work, we would read a horrible paper by a horrible evil media empire, which was in no way related to the big glowing red yellow ball in the sky, but they have a problem page called Dear Deirdre, and it was one letter. Because you used to read the problem page, because it's funny, and you had to think that most of these were made up. But one of the letters which brought great joy was, someone wrote in saying, I'm 17 years old, my mate was staying over, we were talking about all the girls we wanted to see and go out with, and the next thing you know, we were having sex. Does this mean I'm gay? This shouldn't be laughed at, Matt Primo, that's wrong. There's no value judgments here. But it's the response for the... So, no, Deirdre goes back and goes, you obviously sound confused. Perhaps my leaflet, gay, question mark, might help. And I just wonder, is there a question mark leaflet from Agony Ants for every kind of situation? Anyway, back to that. Good guys, question mark. I've got no idea. Someone of no idea, and I think, say, Soundwave with his bandana. Isn't it meant to be the Decepticon? Which one was it?
Trump.
which I'm pointing at for the audio medium.
Soundwave,
that would be
Treadshot,
is it? I know who Soundwave is, the other one.
Soundwave is the Deceptive Communication Expert.
Treadshot.
The universe. Treadshot. Not the actual.
Okay, then you've got Bad Guys, which you've got Overlord based on the Bludgeon Toy. And you've got Skullgrin looking, monsterish. Then you've got more Bad Guys, you've got Evil Red Drax, and Shattered Glass Ultra Magnus, who's got a big skull face.
And Nick's really happy.
Yes,
so happy.
He is very cheery. Because he's not read the interior content.
It was a homage to some other cover at some point. They showed it, but I couldn't tell. Remember which one was a homage to.
And he's contemplating it. Remember
But it's actually very, very nicely drawn. And the colour, as Ralph said, the colour is
very
nice.
Yeah.
But you know what? It's absolutely unintelligible to read.
Can I spoil the end of it?
Yeah. Well, in all fairness, I spoiled it and I started reading it because I read the fucking this horseshit.
The final page. Shattered Glass Ultra Magnus succeeds in his plan and destroys the universe, which is the classic verse, which is the continuation of the Marvel comic that they did in 2007. And that's it.
Yeah, they're basically forcing themselves out of the way for Regeneration 1. They're basically admitting defeat and moving everyone out of that universe.
Yeah, because they had a classic first comic before, it wasn't very good, they tried to shoehorn.
So they blew up the universe.
That seems slightly harsh.
They didn't save the planet Earth and some stuff nearby.
Yeah, a bit of space around there. And any Transformers on Earth at the time.
As you can tell, it's not a particularly enlightening or riveting read at all.
That's just.
So, yes, it is.
It came free with
Tony, you're dropping a profanity, which is unusual.
Tony
swears even less than Nick. Nick used to never swear until they became friends with us.
True.
Now, Nick, just to say, is also known as Toy Foo, and he spent most of the last few days selling toys, not to make money, but to actually raise money for a charity called Mary's Meals, which does make sure that children in developing countries get food in schools, to encourage them to go to schools to learn. So they're not only helping them survive, they're also helping them learn, which is going to do them better. And bizarrely, he managed to rope me into helping, which just seems totally out of character.
That's an unexpected turn into niceness. And
I don't think he's saving my soul, though. I think I'm pretty much fucked.
It's not working out very well.
But so Nick's kind of trying to make us nice, but at the same time we're trying to draw him to the dark side.
I figure eventually we're all going to average out somewhere.
It's a sacrifice I'm willing to make to just knock a couple of chinks into that sociopath.
Whoa. You racist, you horrible racist.
I think I'm winning the battle.
The desert.
You're going to have fun in America, Tom.
We in the Stardom podcast do not endorse racism. Nazism, yes. Racism, no.
We don't endorse Nazism.
We talk about it a fucking lot.
No, we just talk about battles, great battles that happened, and what the Nazis did.
Well, what the Allies?
There was no greatness about it, except that.
Well, you just said great battles.
No. The only good that came out of World War II was the Commando comic.
I don't think that during World War II.
It came out.
Children. So basically. Ralph really misses Hitler.
No, because the Commando comic, which listen, No, because the UK comic industry, as we know, is not what it used to be, sadly. But one of the great things that still goes is Commando, and what's good about Commando is it's got lots of fighting in it. And one of the great inspirations is the Nazis, because they fight people in the Commando comic and they give us heroes, and they still publish two new stories every month, and it's always good. Because they go, got him, Himmel, got him!
Just let me clarify this. Yeah. You would like to thank the Nazis for existing?
No, I'm saying the only
inspiring.
Good thing. The only good thing
you ever wanted to do. Nick is sitting there with a shitty bit right now, going, no one's going to remember the racist remark.
No, such a relief. There was one recently called A Knife for a Nazi. It was a recent issue.
Did a Nazi get a knife?
No, a soldier
chap. The car lied to me, that's rubbish, that's what I hate about
a soldier chap had a knife, and he was like, you Nazis, I'll get you, I'll stop you.
Couldn't he have just got a gun?
Well, no, he was a special mission chap on enemy lines, where they can't use guns.
Why did they stop working?
Well, they kept the position away. So they get the knives, and they go...
To be honest, we keep whistling with you. No.
For the benefit of people who can't see, Ralph did a strange whistling noise and made a strange move of his arm, like the non-dart player in
No, Bursa. That's the noise. No, that's the noise. No, like guns go buda-buda-buda and they go
again, the non-dart, the non-dart player.
It's like, no, because that's what you do. Often people, when they sight sharks, which the Denmark monster.
We're back to sharks.
Wait, they can't shoot
a knife.
If a shark is coming, you don't throw a knife at it. You pull an inflatable with somebody in your pocket.
Ralph, you try to clean some of sharks in somebody. How many sharks are you likely to get behind enemy life?
Unless the underwater Nazis.
Central, no, because they didn't go to the centre of the earth after World War II. They went to it.
No, because some. No, they have to go through water to get to Germany.
The Nazis had to go through water to get to Germany. What? No. That's breaking news, everybody.
What did you get in geography in that school, Ralph? Apart from just put outside the plastic. You just play with the plasticine.
So you don't do a knife with the shark, you put the inflatable submarine, you climb in that, and then you just go away in the submarine.
Inflatable submarines.
By stabbing it with your knife?
It generally goes above the water.
No, but don't the sharks think of that, because the sharks come for you.
You smell the blood, and if they smell your blood, you don't have an inflatable submarine.
What? No, if you were the commanding chap, you would have an inflatable submarine.
You still can't defy the laws of physics.
Off
just because you're in command.
No, because it's all compressed. You put it in your pocket and go,
an inflatable submarine has air.
So you get an inflatable submarine, and then you sail to Germany, past the sharks.
Sail?
It's got a
sail. It's got a sail. It's operated by sail.
It needs to go faster. Because the radar puts up the metal submarines, not the inflatable ones.
But the boats that are on the sea don't see the strange sail poking out the water.
It's a see-through.
That's a big shark.
It's a see-through inflatable submarine, obviously, to blind in. Stupid submarine shenanigans. So off they go, and then they defeat the Nazis, and that ended. And because that ended, free press existed. And because free press existed, years later, Hutton Publications made Transformers comics.
Can I just point out? While the Nazis existed, free press still did. It's not like they conquered
the world. No, but they had even better ones.
I should point out that it's been a very long weekend for us all. And Ralph has also been working very hard on the Toy Fair stall.
If there's any way we like to thank him, he's a professor in his brain. That would be most welcome. Ralph, I think it's time to set the rest of this out.
No, that was my review of the Fun Publications comics.
My review was.
And so, I'm going to attack someone else now. I'm going to pick other Andy.
Andy too.
Okay. Yes, I have Shattered Glass from 2008, which is basically ripping off Star Trek Mirror.
That'll be Mother from season 2.
Yes.
Thank you.
Who is it written by?
It is written by Pete Sinclair and Benson Yee.
And who was the Star Trek episode written by?
We don't need to talk about that.
You forgot, haven't you?
There's no need to talk about
your
that.
Your Trek view's been weak.
General Bixby. Let's move on to...
Right. I don't want to go into the full length of the story. I just want to read Optimus Prime's long speech here, which, you tell me, does this seem in character for any version of Optimus Prime? What do you mean? Of course, I had forgotten how much you enjoyed executing the prisoners. Remember that time we put anti-gravity unit on the Decepticon's feet and tossed him into the pit, but stopped him in mid-air and kept inching him closer and closer to the bottom until the heat destroyed the anti-grav and he fell in screaming. Oh, how I love that sound. Please, old friend, I want you to have the honour of the execution in celebration of your return to us. The Autobot who saved me during the Taurus Heights battle deserves no less.
Wow.
Even an evil Optimus Prime, does that even...
Did you say he?
It's kind of supposed to be a laughing noise, but it just seems inappropriate.
Did you get
it? It sounds terribly chatty, even for an evil.
It is a bit chatty, isn't it? It's more like Wogan the Evil Years rather than a proper despot.
Hello, old friends. Remember how we tortured those peons?
As you know,
with our inflatable submarines.
It's more exposition than character, I would suggest.
I'm about to move the plot along with a really inelegant chunk of words spat at you.
Did you say chunk?
And it's just
chunk of a half
not
a panel.
Not called either. Is there any joy to be had in that comic?
I actually do like it. The basic plot is quite sound. And it's quite fun later on. I think, possibly. Somebody back me up here.
Well, I think it is quite a good game.
It's one of our commentators.
It's perfunctory.
It's perfectly crumulent.
Yeah.
when you turn the full publications panels, basically they say, this was the idea for the comic. And then it all went horribly wrong at some point when they wrote it.
My he was involved the
right. Yeah.
Benson needed most of the right. Sorry, Internet, it's true.
The objection I have with most of these is that they tend to star characters that you don't get as part of the box set. In this case, it's Cliffjumper, who is in almost every single page of it.
Is he like an add-on or like a...
This is just
he had been transferred to the Shadow Glass universe at the end of one.
He's basically the one explaining what's going on.
They've never done a toy, have they?
No, they just used the classic toy. But he's literally the star of it. Everyone you've got in the box set is just effectively extended cameos.
Again, this goes back to the whole point where they're making way for Regeneration 1. They decided to do classics comics at the time because no one else was doing them. Nobody else was following on any of the Generation 1 stuff. So they did this, they did Shadow Glass to tie it, to put them together, and then in the last comic that Ralph is reading, they flushed the whole lot in the toilet.
What about the exciting three-page bit at the back?
Which bit?
The three-page April Fool's Guide.
Oh, the April Fool's Guide was actually brilliant. And they should have done the full comic, but apparently... What was the reason they gave? It was that they could have made it funny for an entire comic or something?
It wasn't funny, but it worked because it was in character and it looked enough like
and it was also beautiful artwork.
Yes, it caught the Yanagir Galan influence really well, which leads us on nicely to what I have in my hand. Oh, one of our cast is leaving. Matt Prime is away.
Matt Prime is leaving. Goodbye.
Farewell.
Ryan.
No. Oh, see, this is the joy of the bar. People can come.
Exactly.
You may wreck that. All right, introduce yourself again.
It is I, Dread Winds, and back to the 80s. You all know me.
So, Matt has left, so we were just talking about the Shattered Glass comic, which leads us nicely into the horrible card that I have in my hands, which is Transformers Timelines Issue 5. Now, why is this a horrible card, you might ask? Because right away it lulls you in a false sense of this is going to be amazing, because it's G2, they've done the four
crossover.
They've
got the Orange logo thing
it's
going
great.
On there.
Got,
jelly.
They got a friend of the podcast, Nick Roach, to do the cover.
And hello, Nick!
He's probably actually over there.
I know, but I was talking to the computer.
The computer Nick will listen and say hello back. And it's got a great cover, and it's like... It's Pyro punching Ultraman, so we're going, step aside, City Commander, we'll take it from here. And featuring the Outlaw Clinch and the always suspicious breakdown. And who is Skybite with a proper old school comic cover? It's like, this looks great. I'm so happy. It's amazing. Then I opened it and I started to read. Now, it's basically an attempt to do Generation 2 in the Sunbow universe, which is, frankly, an absolutely stonking idea, and one I can totally get behind. The art is great. I do enjoy Robbie Musso's art, and the colours are great. But you know what? It's fucking unintelligible racist bollocks.
More race specifically.
Okay, so you've got Pyro, who is some English knights or pyros.
What is the storyline?
They get Greebly. They're attacking the Large Hadron Collider in Switzerland. Which is
the key point, the background to this is that a lot of Autobots and Decepticons have been born on Earth and have taken up nationalities as beings of Earth, like the Saturnians.
And developed terrible accents with awful stereotypes.
So you have
But Robbie Musso was a lovely guy.
He is really nice. And you have basically lots of really, really racist things. You like, for example, one of them, I can't remember, is. You heard Pyro, we're outnumbered. Vamanos. I mean, this is some player mod.
Would that be Rapido?
Yes.
Red Dora the Explorer. Vamanos. Everybody, let's go.
That's correct. Yes,
go
yes.
on, let's get to it.
And we it's know just.
Not only me.
And so they get. Basically some kind of greebly element called Forrest tonight, or called back to the writer Forrest,
Forrest Lee,
and Permanite from the very first convention, official convention comic, way back from Botcon 97 when we had Permanite.
Racing the Omega
one, no, it was
the Beast Wars one,
which was actually an excellent comic,
the 16 page one with Wildman back in Botcon 97, the Raptor pack wrap,
yeah.
Which title we can't remember, but it's
couldn't
basically
this and do it in colour.
They get the Furmanite stuff, they ingest it because it's bright yellow and it makes them all neon and glowy. And basically there's a whole horrible confused fight scene, and you've got Skybite in it, who we all like from Robots in Disguise the cartoon, but he can't save this. It's just pish. Really fucking awful. It's just dire.
In their defence, you did skip the year where they had a good time.
We're battling them at random.
It's here somewhere.
But basically, it's G2, which is basically a comic that I hold in high estimation. Mark, if I ever met Derek Yannick, I would be exactly the same way as Mark Graham is to Dan Gilbazan. But more so because my trousers would be off quicker.
I don't know, Yannick is our work. I love the bit with Brian getting repaired by that kind of almost crab like thing. Yeah.
Yes. Tales of Earth in Generation 2 issue 7, which we'll enjoy.
I think the problem is they were more excited by the colours of G2 toys than the G2 story.
Yes.
And it's all about brightly coloured robots.
Because the bright. We're all waving to Brian who is waiting. So, this is a horrible, horrible comic, which I paid Toy Poo for to get for. And then took it down to assembly and asked Mr. Roach to write a formal apology for me on it. Because I only bought it because it had his cover.
I bought it as well.
Yes, and I did also buy the direct market edition. Despite hating it, despite not liking it in any way, shape, or form.
Generation 2?
Because it said Generation 2 on the cover. I am not a well man.
But regular listeners will know this already.
Yes. Do you have the Generation 2 annual?
I do.
It's a similar card.
Nurse the restraints.
Remember the sharks. From earlier in the conversation.
That's okay, I've got an inflatable submarine.
The Nazi sharks are still in the ocean. And even if you avoid them, there's a pirate soon.
The Nazi pirates.
Who
can't they help
it?
But repeat what they've heard?
Exactly, that's what makes them so good.
But anyway, it's just a really bad comic. So, next, we've got
Nick!
Hello!
What have you got there?
Fresh from his racist outburst earlier.
I have Transformers Timelines issue 6, The Stunty Con Job, featuring Optimus Prime and The Motor Master. It was produced for Botcon 2011, the animated set, and it's written by the story is by Marty Eisenberg, Derek J. White and Matt Youngberg, who I believe all worked on Transformers Animated.
Yes, producers, character designers.
And the whole thing is written by Marty Eisenberg, who I think wrote a few episodes of.
Yes, and the story editors as well.
That's have a look.
Okay. Passerby is just one to have a look at. Voyage of Knockout. Anyway, yes, so it's by the same writers and producers as the animated series. So it's a very similar tone, and the quality is measurably improved. It's standard 22 pages. It does tell a complete, albeit slightly thin, story. It introduces all the characters. It does that very well.
Does it probably feature the toys that you can get at that convention?
That depends. Is Cheetah part of the set?
It's exclusive, available at the same time and available at the convention, so yes.
Well, yes, pretty much everyone in the convention sets was available. So everyone that was available at the convention is in the comic. And of course, a couple of the characters from the show as well.
And I thought it was just you, Mark.
So,
thank you.
Yeah, it does its job. It tells a story. It's very colourful, just like the old animated show. It's all set on Cybertron, so it's a bit darker than the
track
it down, it's awesome.
I have the direct market edition with the other bumper that's in it. It's still great.
So
it does the job of featuring the toys in a proper manner.
It does its job, and most importantly, it's a confident story and well told.
It's well plotted, and it has characters in there rather than just paper mache things who say racist stuff.
Which could be a chilling indictment of the people assembled around this computer right now.
I've got six more toys upstairs.
We're going to end the comic segment.
The comedy has just begun.
Captain, if you want to stop.
Yes, I seem to have Transformers Primeline's Descent into Evil, which I think hails from the space year 2005.
It seems to have a fairly random plot of some
Autobots you've never heard of get sent to a planet to blow up a laboratory which is making clones. It basically devolves into some Autobots fight some clones for 12 or 13 pages and slowly all get killed off, captured, or otherwise disappeared, and then escape, and laboratory end of comic.
Sounds like you're having a good time.
And Bumblebee cameos at the end.
Yes, Bumblebee does. I'm sure that made you very happy. It just felt very, very random to me.
It was quite random.
It's not so much got a plot as a set of events that follow each other. They do actually follow each other in order, so they're getting that right. Other than that, it's on very nice shiny paper.
Sorry, Carl, and it's nothing to do with you. We do apologise for probably the questionable audio comment on quality of the last little bit of the segment.
Obviously, we're in a bar and people come by and we have a wee chat.
And some people are more. Well,
more nearby than others.
Yes.
I wasn't quite as close to the mic.
The best of man.
So, we're not going to explain that joke. However, if you were at Auto Assembly 2012 or 2010, 2009, 8, 7, 6, and 5, you'll know who we're talking about. So, why are we giving the comics such an absolute shellacking, other than we are just bitter old men sitting in a pub drinking? It's because we've got an evaluation form from PopCon 2010.
Hey! Disney World Florida!
So, a lot of us never attended. So,
we had a good time without you.
We outnumber you.
In all fairness, this is our show. Yeah. You're featured correspondents.
You only exist if we allow you to exist.
You could all be sock puppets for all the people in there.
About 40% of us attended that particular one.
Yeah. What kind of questions are on this filling evaluation?
Well, it kicks off with asking why the top reasons why you attended the show.
What were the top three
to those that went?
It was in Disney World.
Yes.
Yeah. It was in Disney World.
That was Transformers.
Okay. Okay, so overall I thought this was the best Transformers convention I have ever attended. One being strongly disagree to six being strongly agree. Then explain your answer.
I could walk with about 10 minutes into Epcot.
It wasn't as good as 2007, which is Astro headquarters. So
basically, because we could go out of your convention and to the House of Mouse, we liked your convention. Wow.
It has always been one of the things about Balkan. They do try to pick an area where family can have a vacation, so they want to make it as family friendly as possible.
Well, it's like 3 days of intense Transformers, and then they have some other stuff and so on.
So there's a couple of questions just trying to get how much money they can chisel out of you by getting your demographics. So we're kind of...
That's a very cynical viewpoint. Thank goodness Auto Assembly don't explode us like that.
It's true, we don't. Yeah. And I would like to say right now that the opinions I express during this podcast do not reflect the opinions of Alt Assembly, but merely my own personal ones. So, smooth, wasn't it, guys?
Very good segue.
So, please mark one for each category in a BotCon figure set. May I ask what's important or not important to you? Characters from only one era, majority from Autobots, majority from Maximal, majority from Decepticons, majority from Predacons, foam insert reusable package. That sounds like a German prog rock band, to be honest.
First four are down important. I think the reusable package is one that
I quite like. A foam insert, generally.
It does.
One evening.
Later on.
It's nice to have a reusable package. I think they may have changed the questions in more recent events.
It's pretty similar, isn't it?
That one I think has changed.
And it just kind of asks for opinions on styles and moulds and the like. And
in that, it does allow you to put down
your
theoretical set, what it would be. So they take suggestions, although we don't know how many have ever been used.
It's kind of, and here's my idea for other future convention set storylines. Competent ones would be a start.
That would help.
Mark, do you write anything other than Bumblebee, 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 and all these?
I've written pretty much the entire Wreckers, Flame, Zarin, every year.
Is that in your head but still comes out Bumblebee on the page?
Sadly, I request in 2005 that Hasbro make Bumblebee immediately and as many as possible. It took them two years. And that, we're getting Wreckers now, by the way. You can thank them. Yeah.
Well, thank both of us. I put them on the Wreckers every year as well.
So did we.
I think myself in the UK put Wreckers in.
I did put down Macabre and Flame as well, so you can look forward to those.
Yeah. Unfortunately, so we're at number 20-1 by people who want more
traffic. We did get Generation 2, which in terms of toys,
was
on the list for long.
Okay, a lot of people have said the character is the most important thing about toys, and it does seem to have eventually.
And they kind of ask about what kind of merch and sort of how you got there and how long it took you and stuff, kind of get an idea. And they talk about the sort of the dealer rooms, and I found the prices to be high, average, or low.
Average. I thought they were high at Disney, to be honest with you.
And it asks how much you spent. And ask, I'd like to see these future dealers at the convention next year.
My best, did you put in drug?
My best find was God. My favourite dealer was, I'm not going to give you his name, because if he finds out I ratted you out, I'm going to get capped. Nobody likes a grass. They talk about classes and contests. And then, so we're going to get to the meat of the summer. We're actually going to talk about this one because it actually relates to some of the printed media, which we are very, very sceptical and scathing of in this and previous podcasts. So what three different topics, articles, do you want to see added to the magazine on a regular basis? Any, for a start.
Worms.
Something detailed.
They're asking about their regular...
Club magazine, which is 16 pages bi-monthly, and quite frankly, just buy toilet roll. It's easier. You'll get more reading out of it, to be perfectly honest.
If you lived in the States and got it quickly, it may have occasional advanced information about Transformers stuff, but not very often. And it once every 2 years.
Yeah. And there's comic strip they do have, and it does tend to veer more towards the cartoon continuity than any other comic continuity.
I have no problem with that. It's just that it's shit.
Yeah, nothing with that.
A good sunbowl would be enjoyable, but you know what? If you want to do a shit sunbowl, we've got it, because they've got several episodes on the series that I can watch.
We also have all the Megatron, which is good.
Exactly. So, do you collect Transformers toys from other countries? And if so, what are your favourite items?
The Canadian ones.
This isn't allowing the fact that anybody's not American to start with.
Exactly. Yes, so it's like, I get the ones from America. It's a wonderful land. And then it asks about what single character mode would like us to make club exclusive of. List as many as you like in order of preference. One guess the feeling is just going to be like lists from some of the more autistic leaning members of the Transformers fan community just writing laundry lists in. Or some of them just writing
Bumblebee.
I think there'd be a fair number of people writing Starscream.
I don't think there are other Bumblebee toys, generally.
Okay, so, but we get to, what is your favourite feature of the magazine and why? And
staples.
I can only guess that most people say I take the fifth on that one. Or, my favourite feature of the magazine is the back cover. Not because of any content on it, but just because I know I've finished it.
Yeah. In its defence, the one decent thing it does have are some fact threads, which kind of harken back to the days of A to Z stuff.
Yeah.
I still said I made the comic best. No matter what standard it is, it's a comic.
It should be a comic.
I even bought All Hail Megatron.
And what is your least favourite feature of the magazine? Why? Equal tie. Do you know you have a 330 word ad each month in the Master Collector?
No.
Not anymore, you know.
That's in the past. They have a new the website now called MacX. Yeah.
But they never get that actually up and running.
Yeah, they did, but not many people use it.
And then at the end, it's all about. They need to know what your age, your ethnic group is, and how long you've collected Transformers, how long you've owned them. What's your five favourite TV shows? What are your five favourite TV networks? What type of radio do you listen to? Alternate rock? Christian? Jazz? Hard rock? Top 40? Countries, classical, oldies, or other.
It appears to be no vanilla ice option.
It's true. And so, and at the end, it's like it asks what your annual income in thousands is. Can we find out how much we can chisel out with you? So,
well, that is especially sponsored by Hasbro.
Yes,
they're trying to do demographic information.
But if in all fairness, I would be comfortable giving them any demographic information given how secure their website has been over the year.
Allegedly.
No, that's not allegedly. We all know what's happened and how well they dealt with that through the wonderful art of public relations. So,
talking about the wonderful art of public relations, we're coming near the end of this thrilling After Dark episode.
Well, there's been a lot more swearing than normal.
Has there?
No beeps, it's just we let it go.
I can bleep whenever I want, so, keep bleeping bleeper.
It's been educational. I never knew what Hollyoaking was before this.
I don't encourage anyone to go out Hollyoaking.
Hollyoaking's coming to Derry soon. Should I live in beer?
I just want to say, because I haven't said much, I'm just saying our passes kind of look a bit like Hollyoaking to me, and now a million slash fictions will be written about the deer raping of Bumblebee by G1.
Oh, I thought already.
And the brutal murder of everyone else at this table in the next 30 seconds.
I've actually spent the weekend trying to unthink that.
To me, it looks more
really
like all the flavors rubbing and scorching is the back of Bumblebee's head.
You're obsessing a little bit. Yeah.
From a great distance, it looks like Optimus Primal, that picture.
But no, so we'll be back with more regular content.
Yes,
at a normal time.
Less swearing and anonymous.
Yes, well, no, there will be less swearing, possibly.
Goodbye.
Farewell.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.